This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all our mommies, sisters, our ladies, wives, and every other category of blessing that God has made the Ishas, polarizing the Bashurans, the one that has been created by God specifically to be without fault. One of the beautiful things about the scriptures is how it deliberately makes us see without any doubt or any form of fainting what it means to be a male and what it means to be a female when it comes to the reality that we walk in Christ. The world as we defined gender roles so many times, and oftentimes the voices that ought to hold reason and explain to the generations to come what their role will be in standing guard and standing as watch women till the coming of Christ, those voices had been more than frequently silenced by culture, by tradition, by religion, and by sensory perception. A lot of people do not actually understand that if you judge the female by what you see as men are prone to do, you lose out on the very essence of their creation. Women are not just created to be beautiful so that men could haggle, fight, ogle, chase, marry, befriend, sleep with, date. That is not the primary essence of who they are. If you look at scripture very carefully in the book of Genesis, you will see one of the supernatural attributes of the woman that many of us take for granted. Do you know that throughout the book of Genesis, the first recorded ability to communicate with all things, outside of the jurisdiction of angels and God, that the Bible would say, oh, had a clear conversation with an entity other than man, was the woman in that discussion with the serpent. And some of us will look at it and say, what? That's a terrible example. Oh, that's a very good one. It shows you something about the peculiarity of the woman, that she has the kind of sense that oftentimes could help a man see beyond this limitation. She could discuss vital things that could shape, make, or mar the destiny of her man. She has a free range in determining the destiny of her children, as we saw in the life of Rebecca, when she was determining which child would get the blessing in the scriptures, also in the book of Genesis. She could be like Abigail, the one that covered the foolishness of her husband. She could be like that lady that was in Jericho, that hid the spies, Rahab, and as a result of that, was able to save herself and her household from total annihilation. There are so many aspects and vital realities of a woman than just as helpmates, bedmates, playmates, and objects of daydream and affection, or perhaps objects of posters that we post in our rooms as young boys and imagine that we are with when we were in our teens. The woman is essentially and truly one of the most divine creation or creatures of God on the face of the earth. Our ability to see beyond the veil has no equal. Has no equal. When you see 20 children in a spiritual gathering, before one male child will begin to ascend into the depths of spiritual reality, 15, 20 girls will have caught it. Growing up, I observed this over, excuse me, over and over again. However, my young children and were in a very spiritual space, girls that were my age mates started prophesying at the age of 11, 12, 10, 11, 12, 13. Prophecies that are clean, accurate, and real. Most of us boys at the time were just wondering what's wrong with them. I mean, I couldn't remember one single boy that was able to prophesy at that young age. In the fellowship in the church we attended, and that church was quite spiritual. And I've seen it in the course of my training and teachings all over the world that the spiritual perception of the woman, the ability to see beyond the veil quickly and without any equanimity, is unchallenged and unrivaled. The only thing that lacks is the definite authority that comes with the priesthood of the male. But no matter how much she tries, the woman can only, at the best, be a prophet or a prophetess. The effort cannot be won by her. She cannot be the priest of her home. She can copy and try to lead, but she cannot be. The authority for that priesthood was not given to her. But she can be a pastor. Being a pastor and being a priest are two different things. And so, as we look at Mother's Day today, and I consider in my heart how to explain to all of us who the woman is, who our mothers are, who our sisters are, if we see them beyond the physical attributes, and if they will see themselves also beyond the physical attributes. For in the physical attributes, you hear languages like, I am not so fine. When I look in the mirror, I don't. This other lady is finer than me. This other person is well endowed. Several times I've had to deal with ladies who have a serious self-conscious insecurities, or sometimes emotional imbalance, or sometimes a feeling of inadequacy, traumatic abandonment, and all those things that. They can only possess such conscious thoughts as a result of not defining by themselves by their role in the spirit. Let me say that again in simpler English. I always know when I put in too much English in a sentence. If you see yourself as you truly are, as a woman, you will redefine yourself for purpose. That's what I'm saying. More often than not, the things that we use to qualify ourselves as women are basically the standard set by society, tradition, religion, and more, most importantly, men, as a criteria for them to pick a wife, as a criteria for them to pick a lover, as a criteria for them to pick a friend. We all know that Power attracts beauty and vice versa. There is nothing you can do about that. Men holds the corridor of power, and beauty must be seen in order to give power a level of balance. Power in itself is a very ugly animal. To balance it, you bring in beauty. So in the palace of Solomon, you will see beautiful women everywhere. But underneath the power that brought them to Solomon was a lot of slave activity that brought him his wealth. So power in itself is ugly, but we bring beauty to balance it. And it is important that all of us, especially today as we celebrate Mother's Day, we will define in reality what our essence is. Young ladies here, those who are married, those who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, no matter your age, if you continue to see yourself through the lens of the material, you are going to miss out on the true nature, on the true purpose of your creation. Yes, you are created by God to support the man. But that is in the material. God said, when God was going to make woman, he said, he saw that the man, Adam, that he was alone and he had no companion. And so the definition of Isha, of the woman, was the one that was brought to balance him, to give him succor, to give him companionship. But that is the definition in the material, in the flesh, where we look at each other, man and woman. That is definition in the material. The definition goes beyond that, and I'm asking mothers to see this today and begin to deliberately, stylishly, in fact, boldly show their daughters that their definition is way, way beyond material definition of who a woman is. Mothers generally have the habit of bringing their daughters into confidence or trying to explain to their daughters the struggles that they went through in order to keep their marriages, the battles they fought against their in-laws and all that. I'm going to ask all our mothers to stop this habit henceforth. You are poisoning the generation to come. Some of them, what I realize they do when they get married is that they just continue your life. We all forget that the human mind is highly impressionable and easy to program. So when you tell your daughter over and over and over and over again that this man are this man are that man are this man are that, these are the pains I had to go through, these are the pains I had to go through, she hears it over and over again. I noticed that some of them from very day one of their marriage, from day one of their marriage, they put themselves at a disadvantage in their thinking. That is not their fault. It is as a result of the bile, and as a result of the mothers not realizing that when you feed venom into a bottle, you cannot bring good out of the bottle. Your daughters are empty containers that ought to be filled with joy, with good news, with sounds of joy, songs of merrymaking, with hope, with positivity, with goodness, with joy unspeakable, full of glory. You are supposed to deliberately ensure that even the things that they saw by themselves within the context of your marriages that might pollute their mind, you are going to tell them, no, you are going to marry a good man. Your husband will never behave like that. Your husband is going to love you. Your husband will take care of you. You quickly give them a cloak of assurance. You don't tell them, when you get there, don't, I, ah, they, you don't. You don't do that. Because again, One of the reasons why a lot of young women run away from motherhood and marriage is because many of them will tell you of the stories of their own parents. And the stories of their parents are never in context. You see, there is no way a child can have the full record and the full context of the struggle of the mother. It is always one-sided, and it is always from the mother's perspective. And if mothers here will agree with me, you are not always balanced and fair when you begin to tell your children stories about your struggles. You go all emotional, you cry, you leave out a lot of nasty things that you did, and then you paint the other person so black, and you forget that it is not that person you are ruining for your daughter. It is her own future, because that person is your person. That's your husband. Your daughter will not marry him. So if you tell your daughter that your husband has horns and that he bites and that he's a lion, well, is you that is biting and goring. It is not her. And if you prepare her for battle instead of a life of joy, she's going to enter into marriage and she's going to start battle from day one, because that was what you equipped her for. If you equip the wife for joy, she can only bring joy. It is very important that as we redefine and prepare the world for Jesus to come, and we hold on to the tenets of the realities of the gospel that he has given to us for free, that we do not shift the solid rock we are standing on, we do not exchange it for shifting sands. It is very important that we don't allow our daughters, especially, to fall into the danger of changing tides of the sea. Today, emotionally stable, tomorrow, emotionally unstable, next tomorrow, emotionally stable. And before you know it, they grow up with these swings and this inability to cope with life using their own abilities. Rather, they will depend on somebody else, a third party, somebody to talk to, simply because they couldn't cope for themselves. Do not raise daughters like this. Raise your daughters to be balanced. Don't force religion down their throat. Religion has never helped anybody. When they know the word of God, they know you, then you fill them with a lot of positivity. You tell them how bright their future is. You show them through the scripture that they are not just commodities to be haggled over and bought in the marriage market, or to face their career, like some people will say. Careers are the most deceptive thing that I've seen that many people cry over. There is nothing in it. Say, I want to make my mark on the world. You are wasting your time. You are wasting your time. I want to write my name in Sands of Time. You are wasting your time. As the truth, you must have a job, you must work, but your focus in life should never be that. Once your that job is over, you are done. They forget you as soon as you step out of that office. That's the truth. I have seen it happen several times. And that is both to the men and the women. At the end of the day, in the families that I know, that I've seen, that are every family all over the world, at the end of their journey, what matters the most is family. When people are dying, careers do not surround their bed. I remember when Steve Jobs was dying. Everybody was saying that the guy was diagnosed with cancer and he was rich and there was nothing anybody could do for him. And I saw him give a speech. I didn't know when I started crying. His life was empty. When Bill Gates will die, his life will be empty. That's the truth. No matter how rich he became, his life will be empty. One of the people that I know will die and smile is Elon Musk. Why? Because he surrounded himself with many children. I think he has 12 now. Yeah, he prioritized family, having a family, and he was deliberate about raising them. He's still deliberate. I always see his children, how they read their books, the kind of books they read. I say, okay, this man is an intentional father. At the end of the day, when he's going home, he knows that, come on, I'm surrounded myself with the most important thing and that is family. There is nothing in any other thing but paper and waste of time and energy. That is the truth. So if you have children yet, build them up, teach them, correct them, show them the important things, the things that matter. The creation of God are super, super more important than the creations of men. The creations of God are men, their children, and God's purpose. The creation of men, career, car, plane, all those things are made from perishing materials. The things that never perish made us the bread of God. So you must shift the focus back to what is important. Do not raise your children with poverty mindsets. You belong to the Lord. You are of God. Raise them as children who has all things. Speak to them as possessors of heaven and earth. Tell your daughters that they are daughters of substance, women that can never be lacking in anything, women that are covered by grace. Teach them, talk to them, counsel them. Do not treat them as if they do not matter or as if they have to look up to anyone in order to live and fulfill destiny. It shouldn't be so, and it is not so. It is not God's will that should be that way. Don't forget what made us. We are a product of the world. And if you will speak the right word to your daughters, you will notice that they would live up to that word. If you call them great, they will be great. God called Abraham the father of nations. He became the father of nations by word. When Melchizedek would meet with him, Melchizedek called him possessor of heaven and earth, and he became a possessor of heaven and earth in Christ. Now we are possessing heaven and earth now. It was Melchizedek that opened that door. Melchizedek, blessed be Abraham, the possessor of heaven and earth. He didn't know what he was saying. He blessed Abraham like that, and then he went away. Yes, that Jesus Christ said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you that wherever I am, you can be there also." That every Christian that then died began to go to Zion. So now we have Christians on the earth who are possessing the earth, and then we have Christians in heaven who are possessing heaven. It was the blessing of Melchizedek that opened that door. That was how we became possessors of heaven and earth. So if you tell your children, your daughters, you will be, from their childhood, you begin to tell them, you'll be mothers of nation. You will never see fibroid inside their tummy. Many of us, we left the important things, the important blessings. We left them. We say, your career, you'll be doctor, you'll be lawyer, you'll be engineer. We leave many things because we didn't know better. Then the children achieve all these things, and then they begin to come up with PCOS. This one, that one, all sorts of excuses. And even in the process, when they get pregnant, they are quick to run to abortion shops that have the children because they think mommy will kill me. That is the kind of mentality that no parent should have anymore. If you want children to surround your table, when they come, they come. It doesn't take the children away from their purpose. It is the truth. You must hear me today. If you are going to defeat the drought to come, you must re-strategize your thinking. You must recalibrate how you see the life. Don't let what is to come catch you by surprise. Don't be one of those mothers who have six children and then your children will end up having none. And as you grow older, you begin to pray when the children are in their 50s that what did I do wrong? Because you have put the cart before the horse. Recalibrate it. Be a mother of substance, a mother of nations. A mother of nations is a mother that has children who are dominating nations. She's not a mother without children. She's not a mother who has 1 million degrees. She's not a mother of nations. Degrees are not children. Yes, dominate, possess, win in every area of life, win. But the most meaningful win is that you raise your children in the way of the Lord, that you have them and you raise them. Drum this into the ears of your daughters. Drum this into their ears. Keep their ears away from ideologies that aim to cause desolation, desolation and destruction. Remind them that they have a special place in God, and that God has a special assignment for them beyond sight, beyond the material, beyond this emotional haberdashery that has pervaded our world, in which everybody seems to be suffering from one emotional malady or the other. Your children have stable emotions. When you talk to your children, they are products of the world. They will respond to your word by growing in the direction of what you are saying. If you notice, you have a child that is having a challenge in learning, name that child wisdom, call that child wisdom, call that child knowledge and understanding. The child will respond to it. I've seen the word of God work so faithfully, and it will work for you. For those of us who are in our marriages, in our homes, we are facing any kind of struggle, rethink your strategy. Stop thinking like madmen. You have in you the power that overcomes the world. You shouldn't struggle with taking pragmatic decisions on matters of marriage, of home, of children, and of husband. It shouldn't. The key to your home was given to you. You are created to keep that home. That was why God made you. The man was not created. The man was created to keep the garden. You are created purposefully to keep the home. So to say that, I cannot keep the home. No. If anyone is going to be held accountable for failure of homes and marriages, it is not going to be Adam. He wasn't created for that. It is going to be the one that was created for that purpose. Don't forget, in all these things, the Bible was clear what everybody's role is. So training of children, raising them, does not simply mean that the man will not play his role, but primarily the nurturing aspect, nurture them with positivity, with good words. Mask your pains. Every time, mask, do not speak from your pain. Speak from your blessings to your children. Every time, don't say, your father has to tell me like this, you too. No. When you are talking to your children, you are talking to your future. Your husband is your present. These children are not only your future, they are the future of the church. So when you speak to them, you speak to them from the loins of blessing, from the breasts of blessing, from the milk of blessing and kindness, not according to your pain. You must do this deliberately. You are created deliberately, fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the Bible says. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So your children have to be fearfully and wonderfully raised, not haphazardly, not as a result of certain emotions or decisions. No. Fearfully and wonderfully raised. That means you have to be deliberate in how you speak to your daughters, raise them, teach them, culture them, and encourage them. And the direction you steer them towards, your children must be gardens. They must have fragrance that is so comely and beautiful that those who come into their atmosphere will just be smelling, they will be smelling jasmine. They say, oh, every time I'm around that, I just notice that there is this calmness. That is how you raise godly daughters who carry the atmosphere of peace, of joy, of tranquility, and of grace, and not all this unnecessary emotional upheaval that has become the thing in the church, which is a bother. And no pastor or man of God can correct the malady. The solution will have to come from the mothers. You have to then be deliberate. What to teach your children, they teach their own. And before you know it, we are balanced again, and all these unnecessary maladies in the church will stop. We can do better. I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that the hand of the Lord that has made you and called you, the one that God deliberately made to preside over his affairs administratively in the affairs of men, that key, that power, that grace will continue to work for you. As a mother, the Holy Spirit will guide your footsteps. It will ensure that no disease, no plague comes into your home or into your body. It will sit you down in your own home and make sure that everything around you works for you. In this season, you will have dominion over your territory. In this season, anyone that is in a wrong relationship, the Lord will resettle them in the right places. Every form of contention will be over. There will be joy unspeakable, full of glory. You will experience what it means to live in the fullness of the grace of God in your life. You will enjoy knowing the Lord, working with Him, and being called a daughter of Zion. The Lord Himself has called you blessed. Therefore, I declare that the blessing of the Lord show forth in all your realities. I command every form of disease, cancer, or whatever to disappear from your life. You will live a good and goodly life. Your legs are strong, your arms are strong. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord unmute and shout, Happy Mother's Day!
Thank you, sir.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.